We desire to gather in his name, and may our gathering today be a blessing. May we be encouraged in him. May we be strengthened with might in the inner man, by his spirit in the inner man. I want to bless everyone for coming. There's quite a crowd here. It's kind of just a blessing to be together in this capacity. And I was just thinking, everyone being here just kind of manifests that there is a hunger for the things of God. And I trust that's why we're here. Because if that's why we're here, there's a promise in the Word that goes with that. And we all know what it is. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And here's the promise. For they shall be filled. And so I trust that will be the result of our gathering together here today. May the Spirit of God lead us and guide us and encourage us as we gather in his name. Focusing in again this morning on the Christian home, one aspect of the Christian home, there's a song that I was thinking about this morning, and I can't quote it all, but it just came to my heart. It goes something like this: Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide. I just got excited about the thought of Christ being the counselor in my home, where every child is taught his love and favor and gives his heart to Christ, the crucified. And I can't quote it all, but I know there's another line in there that says something like, Oh, give us homes with godly fathers, mothers. And I was actually thinking about you, Brother Colby and Sister Emily. I think you had that sung at your wedding, did you? But may the blessing, either way, of that hymn be upon us all. This is the desire of our heart. Homes built firm upon the Savior. I have felt a tremendous burden for our homes. You know, when you have a burden, it gets heavy. That's what a burden is. And sometimes when you feel the weight of that burden and you would like to be out from under it, there's part of you that would be. And there's part that would like to rise up and just do what we can. And so that's where we come in this morning. And when we have a burden, sometimes it's good to evaluate this burden. And I was just thinking, if the only thing that ever came out of godly homes was godly children, if the only thing, the fruit of every Christian home was godly seed and faithful children, sanctified, broken, holy before God, if that's the way it was, we wouldn't have the burden. We'd just rejoice and grow in grace. But the truth is, and reality is, and I trust we're all together on this because I don't want to be negative and judgmental, but we have seen godly homes where the parents really sought after God. Many of them where their children literally walked away from God. Have you seen that? We've seen the children rise up in rebellion. We've seen them leave home. We've seen them drift to a state of apostasy connected to this world. We have seen lukewarm children come out of hot, godly homes. And it's not going to be right to stand here and name some, but when you start naming them, you realize this is reality. And the list is long. And now that we're down the road a little ways, we have seen this happen to many homes that when we were back here, we said, that won't happen. And so the burden comes. How does this happen? I think I'm going to say something here I wasn't sure if I would say this, but I think I'm going to say this. I believe the older men here today have a greater burden than the younger fathers that are here. And I think the reason may be this. Because the younger fathers, your children are young. You've seen the mistakes that we have made. You got this thing figured out. You're not going to make the same mistakes that we made. And that's not going to happen to you. But I want to tell you something. The old men that are here, they know something. They know that many of those children who walked away from the Lord, those children were taught of God. Those children saw the moving of God. And those older men, and I am one of them, we remember. I remember when I didn't think that would ever happen to me. And I stand before you trembling because I am one who have watched a son walk away from my home. He was a good boy. He was taught in the Word. And when he walked away, it wasn't in complete rebellion. There was some confusion. There was some hurts there. And there was some need for direction. But the connection was not there. I still can't hardly comprehend how that happened. I loved my son. And so I speak today out of a burden with a cry to the younger fathers that are here. Rise up. Humble your heart. Break your heart before a holy God. Don't say, this won't happen to me. But let the burden of those of us who are older come down upon your hearts. Don't write off the things that we say. Don't sit there and say, that's a little old-fashioned for me. I'm just going to tell you, what is said today comes out of a burden. It comes out of the cry of a heart. I tell you, if God would give me the opportunity to go back 30 years and just start over, I'd pull that lever, yes, so hard, I tell you. But I'd never pull it if I had to go back and do it over and make all the same mistakes again. I'd like to go back and do it over knowing everything that I know now. I'm not going to go back and go through all that again. I'm just telling you, there is wisdom available for the younger men and the younger women who have younger families. May God give us grace today as we proceed out of a godly home. How could there be wayward children? I want to consider how this thing could even be. The Bible tells us that the curse, causeless, shall not come. In other words, if things don't come out right, there's got to be a reason for it. The curse, causeless, shall not come. And as I've considered this thing, when you study it, when you boil that thing down, I mean when you really boil the thing down with a burden, in a Christian home where God is exalted, where Christ is taught, there's really only about three things that can cause wayward children. And those things must be dealt with in every home. No amount of spirituality will make up the difference. No amount of mission work will make up the difference for these three things. No amount of church will make up the difference for these three things. There is a reason for everything, and there are three reasons, that's all I know, how wayward children can come out of godly homes. The first reason, and these might seem a little basic to you, but just stay with me here. When there is wrong character in the parents. The first reason is just simply our fault. And it can be in the marriage relationship, but it doesn't have to be. It can be in an individual relationship with God. When parents try to break the will of their children when their will is not broken, that's hypocrisy. That brings frustration to the children. When parents insist that their children get under authority, when they themselves are not under authority,
That is frustration and confusion to the children. Sometimes it's just because simply dad and mom are not together on things. There's a little bit of a battle there. Mother just kind of eats away at the things that dad's trying to establish. Or maybe there's just some tension in the relationship itself. Either way, it produces confusion and a little root of bitterness in those children. And I just want you to know this morning that when your children, now they're still singing the songs in church, they're still going with you to church, they're still going with you to the activities of the kingdom, but when those children have some confusion and a root of bitterness in their heart, they can walk away from a godly home. The second reason of how this can happen is because we have left a door open where the enemy, this old world, has his foot in the door and brings his influence into our homes. I want you to think about that. Now, this is in the midst of Bible stories and good church life, but if the door is open for the enemy to bring his influence into our home, what I'm really saying here is when the protection of our home is not what it needs to be. And I'm talking about things like music. I'm talking about things like the media. I'm talking about fads of this world, the cool spirit. It's books and videos and entertainment and those things. I tell you, you can't get spiritual enough on Sunday so that you can allow those things through the week in your home. These things lead our children astray right out of the narrow way because they've had a taste of the broad road. That's where those things are from. And that's where they will draw our children. And when the protection is not there, when we haven't shut those doors, those influences come into our homes and they come into our hearts of our children. And when that happens, our children can walk away from a godly home. The third reason how this can happen is when the flesh of that child, their will, has room to operate. When the will of that child has not been broken, that thing will lead a child astray even if everything else is in order. Even if you've shut the door on all the influences of the world. Even if you have a beautiful marriage and you and your wife are together on everything. I tell you, if the will of that child is not broken, it'll lead that child astray even when everything else is in order. It doesn't matter what home or whose home that child is raised in. Their will, their selfish will must be broken. If a child's will is not broken, they can walk right out of a godly home. And many times all of these things try to hide under a spiritual cover. Many times we cover it up with spiritual talk and spiritual activity, even in the kingdom of God. But I just tell you, when you try to cover these things up with spirituality, it just adds to the confusion in the hearts of our children. It needs to be repented of. It needs to be cleaned up. We have seen great men in the kingdom of God, truly faithful men that God used in a mighty way. Some prayer warrior, some missionary, some pastor, some evangelist that down the road somewhere, somehow trouble started showing up in their home, some kind of conflict, maybe a little bit of rebellion, some kind of division of some kind in this great servant of God that God is using in a mighty way. And many times, and I've heard this, you begin to hear things like this: that man has done so much in the kingdom of God. That man has done so much damage to the enemy. He's penetrated so far into enemy territory that now the devil's mad and he's taking it out on his children. I want you to know this morning that I don't believe that. Where do you go in Scripture to support that one? I tell you, if you go to Scripture, you find that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil can't do that. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The devil can tempt. The devil can attack. The devil can create situations. The devil can roar. But the devil can't take your children out of your home just because he's mad. Greater is he that is in you, in us, than he that is in the world. That happened because a door was left open in that home. I don't care who it is. I don't care how great they are. I don't care how extensive God is using them. They can't afford to let wrong influences into the hearts of their children. And I'm not talking about a little door. I want to make that clear. Or a little mistake that we made sometime, somewhere, and now we pay. No. Everybody makes those. Lots of them. I'm talking about a door that is left open for a long time that should be shut in our homes. I'm talking about one of those three things that we just mentioned. It was not in place in that home for a long time, and it fought them, and it fought hard. I tell you, you cannot get so spiritual. You cannot get so used of God. You cannot get such a position that you can ignore any one of those things. And I wasn't sure which way to go this morning for our subject, for our message. I thought about just going to breaking the will of our child. I thought about considering the evil influences that come into our homes. And I'm not going to talk about breaking the will of our child this morning, but I do want to say this. Breaking the will of your child is probably the best thing that you can do for them. It's probably the best thing that you can do for you. It will bless your home tremendously. If the will of your child is broken, everything you try to do for that child will work. If their will is not broken, you don't even want to know all the grief that that will bring. It will fight you in almost everything you try to do. And the difference is eternities apart between having a broken will in your children and an unbroken will. You can't overemphasize it too much. It's one of the most important things to happen to produce a godly seed. Children walk away from godly homes where Christ is taught because of an unbroken will. I want to encourage you this morning, be in prayer over that one. Start young with the children. It's so easy to break a child's will when they're young, and it's so almost impossible when they're older. Oh, God, wake up the young fathers that are here. They just want to, if you don't understand it, if you don't know what to do, get some help. It's available. Be in prayer over that one. Be discerning. Chastise in love. Read Proverbs. I just throw this out. A firm voice will never break a will. Read Proverbs. Study it. It'll be a blessing. I'm shaking too much. I'm going to put these down here. They're dripping down. I couldn't figure out where the water was coming from. Okay, praise God. We'll proceed here. So today the subject we want to consider is the protection of our homes against evil influences that come in. The defense of our homes against the enemy and the world around us.
And I just want to start by mentioning this. As we consider the defense of our homes, I want us to consider how important the defense system is for any nation. The National Guard, the National Defense. I tell you, think about it. It must be in place. It must be alert and operating for people of the homeland to dwell in safety. Amen? I mean, who would argue? But I think that should teach us something about the protection of our homes. How much money is spent on defense in our nation every year? How much time? How many are employed in the defense of our nation? How much organization? How much study is put forth? How much intelligence is collected? I mean, there's a whole department, just the intelligence, to get information, keeping track of the enemy. That's their job. It's a priority at every level in a nation. We're keeping track. If a nation has an enemy, we're keeping track of his every move, are we not? I mean, it's an alert level. It's an orange alert. How big a threat does something have to get before we pay attention to it? Not much. In the defense system, they're watching everything all the time. Even if something doesn't look like an enemy, if it starts to show an ugly head, I mean, they're right there. This is the kind of discernment that we need as fathers over our homes. The effort of the defense system as a nation, of a nation, is to stifle the efforts of the enemy in the early stages. They don't wait until, you know, the danger is so big that they can't stop it. That should teach us something about our homes. We need to destroy wrong influences in the early stages. That's how a defense system works. That's how it thinks. Now, I don't want us to think that the Christian life is all defense against the enemy. I just want to throw that in right here. That's not right. There's just as much, maybe more, maybe twice as much offense as there is defense. We witness. We send out. We go forth. We rise above fear in the name of the Lord. But I just tell you, if we lay down our defense, we're in trouble. And that's the message that we have before us this morning. Our desire is that our homes would come under the protection of the Scripture, where it says of those who are kept by the power of God through faith. That's what we want, that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But there is something for us to do. And if we don't do it, the protection of our homes, the safety of our homes is lost. I remember I had a heard a brother not too long back. He said that he liked to have his children play in the backyard. But he said there were dogs from the neighbors that came over, and he just wasn't clear with the exposure of his children to those dogs. And so what did he do? He put up a fence. He put up a fence so that his children, who were too young to know, to defend, he put up a fence so that they could play in safety. And even little illustrations like that can teach us things about what kind of defense we need to have in our home. Our desire this morning is that we can learn to call sin, sin, and recognize it. That is crucial for us in the protection of our homes. And I know we do that when sin is black, when sin is ugly, when it's progressed, when it's in its final stages. We recognize it. We deal with it. We call sin, sin, but our desire this morning is to recognize sin in the early stages, when it's not so obvious, not so black, not so progressed, when it hasn't taken its toll yet, when we can still do something about it. And I want to tell you one thing, it's in that category. An unbroken will.
You need to be able to recognize the signs of an unbroken will. I tell you, when a child is young, it's not cute. It's an unbroken will, and it needs discipline. And if it doesn't come, that thing grows. It's just in the early stages. It's just getting ready to grow. And we need to discern what that thing is in the early stages. There's music in that category. There is. That's why many children walk away from the Lord, because us parents didn't recognize sin when it was in the early stages, and then it grew. We got to be able to call sin, sin early. I remember a minister giving an illustration of an apple tree a while back. He just said that in the springtime, it's beautiful. The apple puts forth its blossoms. The petals open up, and the sun shines, and the bees fly, and those things are pollinated. But a few days later, the flowers begin to fall off that were so beautiful. And right behind where the blossom was, there's this bud that begins to swell just a little bit when the petals fall off. It's nothing really but a fixed spot in the stem. That's all it is on an apple tree. And that tiny little bud, when it begins to swell, do you know what it's called when that happens? Do you know what that little growth right there is called? It's an apple. 100% apple. And it is going to grow. It doesn't look like an apple. It sure don't taste like one. It's not fruit yet like one. It's not in the developed stages like one. It's not ready for harvest like an apple. It's not progressed, but it's an apple. And that thing is going to grow a little bit every day. All that thing can do is grow into an apple, because that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly how sin is, brothers and sisters, in its early stages. It's not always that easy to identify. It's not that black. It's not that progressed. Sometimes it almost seems reasonable. It may be not even serious enough to deal with, but sin grows. It grows a little bit every day, and all it can do is grow into sin. Because that's what it is. Black, ugly, ungodly sin. And right here is an almost perfect explanation of what happens when you see a family that looks so good when they are young, and when they get older, you ask, what happened? Right here it is. Sin grew. It didn't show up in the early stages. I mean, the children were still doing the commands of their parents. They were still going to church. They were still singing the songs. They still listened to the same music the parents listened to. But sin grew. And there comes a time where it always reveals itself. And that's when we say, how did that happen? I'm just saying, we need to be able to recognize sin in the early stages, or it'll take its toll down the road. We've got to be able to identify it to produce a godly seed. And when we identify it, we need to know what to do about it, how to deal with it. And brothers, I just want to throw this in here. When we stand together, we have more power against the inroads of the enemy than if we try to stand alone. When we're united in our stand, we have greater defense against those things. I have a picture in my mind that I saw a while back of standing together. I saw it a while back. I saw it years ago, and I checked up on it again a while back. It was in a book put out by the Basic Youth Institute. It's a book of character sketches where they use characteristics of animals to teach some lessons. And this one was a water buffalo, I believe, or some kind of bison. And they were illustrating how these bison protect their young against the wolves. And I can still see that picture. It was a really neat picture. Those bison, those buffalo, I mean, they were standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, just one right next to the other, all the way around. And their young were right there behind them. And the wolves were out there just hungry, just ready to go. And here they were, these bison. They had their heads down and their horns up. And those wolves couldn't get at those children. It's a neat picture. It's a beautiful picture.
standing in line, a united stand, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, with no openings. It created a safe place for those young ones, a beautiful place. And that united stand, hear my heart, that united stand created more protection for those children than any one of those buffalo could have done on their own. And brothers, if we're too busy discussing where the line is, you know, one brother says, well, I don't think it should be there. I think it should be stand over. I think we should stand over here. Well, I'm not going to stand over there. I'm going to stand over here. And we lose that side by side. We lose that shoulder to shoulder. And the line is broken by disunity. The shoulder to shoulder is lost. And there's some confusion there. I tell you, when things like that change, there are still some things that don't change. And one thing that does not change is the wolves are still there. And they're still hungry, whether we're united or not. And if the young watch our behavior, and in the confusion of our disunity, they decide, well, hey, there's really no unity here. I'm not sure there's that much danger out there. I mean, this is ridiculous. And they leave their place of protection. They leave their God-ordained place of protection, that place where God in his wisdom, out of love for them, for their protection and safety, has ordained for them. They step out from that place of protection, and then they sit down. I mean, they sit down at their computer. They sit down at their personal computer, and they set up their website, and they push in their music. And I tell you, there are some things that don't change. The wolves are still there. And it's the beginning of the end when the wolves have a shot at the young ones. They have no idea what all influence is going to come through what they have done. These influences in our homes, we need to close the doors. We need to stand together. We need to protect our children. And many times, the damage doesn't happen right away. Did you know that? I mean, the children step out, they're here, they've got some freedom now, and, you know, really things haven't changed that much. It looks like everything's okay. That's so sobering to me. I mean, the prophet of God, did you know that you can prove the prophet of God wrong for about 3 years? Maybe five, maybe one, maybe 6 months. Maybe 10 years. You know, God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And they ate, and you know what? They didn't die. Physically, they lived for 900 years. They could have proved God wrong for 900 years, but I tell you, there is a day of reckoning that's coming when we trespass the word of God. The standard of God. We've got to realize what influences are coming our way and what effect they will have upon us down the road. We got to recognize sin and the swelling of the bud. We got to, before it takes its toll, I like that old phrase. You may have heard it. If you don't want something, if you want to stop it, then you ought to nip it in the bud. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. That's a good phrase. That's what it means. When that little apple's just starting to swell. If you don't want that thing, you need to nip it right there in the bud. That's what that means. I'm spending some time on this because I feel like there are too many things in our homes that are sin in the swelling of the bud, that in their progressed stage, we don't want it. But in the early stages, we don't recognize it. May God open our eyes. Too many things are overlooked, even considered normal, that is just sin bulging in the bud. I want to say something here about a seducing spirit and a doctrine of a devil. You know, if you're like me, when you hear those phrases, a seducing spirit, doctrine of a devil, that just sounds about as bad as you can get. It sounds progressed. It sounds the end result down the road. It sounds black. It sounds bad, and it is bad. But I want to tell you this morning, the doctrine of a devil, that is not demon possession. That's just a doctrine. A doctrine is a teaching. That's what it is. It's something that a devil would teach. And he doesn't really teach people that are already progressed to the end stages. He brings these doctrines to our children that are good children, that are in our home, like immodesty. That's the doctrine of a devil. It's not demon possession, but it's what the devil would teach, because that's where he wants to lead us. He wants possession of our children. And if our daughters wear these, you know, t-shirts and tight tops and just a little bit transparent maybe, or suggestive tops maybe, or form-fitting tops at all, or maybe the neckline comes down, you know, just a little bit, that is what the devil would teach is okay. It's not in its progressed stages. That person could still love the Lord. That person could still raise their hand in church. But I tell you, it's a doctrine of a devil. It leads us the wrong way. It leads our children the wrong way. May we learn to recognize these things in the early stages. And a seducing spirit. I thought about that. You know, that just sounds bad to me. Sounds like murder. It sounds like disaster or habitual adultery or cursing God. But brother, sister, someone who murders someone who's living in habitual adultery, they have already been seduced. A seducing spirit is a spirit that comes to a good person and tries to draw them away out of the kingdom of God into their kingdom. That's what a seducing spirit is. And so I want us to wake up. There can be doctrines of devils and seducing spirits in our homes, because there are other influences trying to win the hearts of our children. And when we give those things room to operate, I guarantee you, they will operate. And they're from the very pit of hell. That's exactly where he wants to take our children. We need to take the mask off of the devil and his cohorts and expose them for what they are. I just want to tell you this morning, fads and fashions are an evil influence in our homes. The cool spirit is a wrong, evil influence in our homes. And when we let them in and they land on our children and they go down into the hearts of our children, when our children give heed to those voices and receive that influence, and it shows up in all kinds of ways. It shows up in everything from how they comb their hair, the clothes they wear, the music they listen to, and so on. And I tell you what that is. It's them having some fellowship with this world. And whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. That's not the way to produce a godly seed. That's not the way to establish a Christian home. Brothers and sisters, may God wake us up. Boys, it's the same for you. You know, when you wear those low-cut jeans, or you're into trucks, or you're into weightlifting, or you moose your hair, or tight clothing, or anything like that, just a cool spirit, those things are seducing spirits. They're trying to get your attention away from God and put it over here. We don't produce a godly seed when we give room for a seducing spirit to work in our home. And I want you to know, when I say those things, I mention some things on the outside. People rise up and say, oh, that's legalism. But I want to tell you something. I'm not focusing on those things. I'm focusing on your heart. I want to tell you something about fruit. Fruit is an outward thing. It's on the outside. Fruit's not in the heart. It's what comes out of the heart but shows on the outside. It's fruit. And what did Jesus say? How did Jesus give us a formula to discern things? He said, by their fruits, you're going to know them. The things that show on the outside. I'm not focusing on those things. I'm just studying this fruit to see what's in your heart. Girls, when your covering is too small and it's getting smaller and it's moving back on your head and keeps moving back, or if it just has to be different, or maybe it just has to be anything but what your mother wears. It's got to be what your friends wear. I tell you, this is a seducing spirit. It's not advanced. It's not progressed. It's not the end result. It's the beginning. It's the quiet water on the river above the falls. Again, girls, I'm not focusing on the outside. I'm looking at it, but I'm studying your heart. I'm looking at the fruit on your tree that's connected to your heart. I want to tell you girls something. I've seen girls wear coverings that, you know, they had to be like their friends. They had to do a certain thing with them, whatever it is they do. But they know, and they're very sharp on it. I want you to know that the covering is a sacred thing. The covering stands for something. It says that you are under authority. It says that you're a woman of prayer, that you're in your place. And you're using it to be accepted with your peers? That is a seducing spirit. Make it an accurate symbol. That's when we produce a godly seed. It's almost impossible to make an exhaustive list of these things because it's a spirit. It's a cool spirit. You push it down here and it just comes up over here. Crucify the flesh. Parents, don't be afraid to take a stand, but do it when you're young. I just tell you, I'm not going to recommend that you just rise up and all of a sudden stop all this stuff that's in your home. You'll lose your children. You're too late to do it that way. Do it that way when they're young, but get some help when they're older. This thing is big. Your child is a person. You can't treat that child anything different than a person. They have an opinion. They have the right to their opinion. And we need to honor that. That's why we need to win their heart. We don't force our authority on their heart. We win their heart. There are ways to do it. God is behind us. He will move in our behalf. Youth, I'm going to make a plea to you here. I'm just going to speak to the youth for a minute. Get under the authority of your parents. Do away with the cool spirit. Renounce that thing. Amen. Before God. It's a spirit. And I believe it's a seducing spirit. Renounce that thing before God. It's the doctrine of a devil. Repent of every sign of it. Break your will before God and before your parents. Lay down your agenda. You know what? It's just a decision. All you got to do is make up your mind to do it. That's what repentance is. It's just a decision that you make before God. I'm encouraging you to do it. Go home and repent and make some changes. And don't be a bit ashamed to let everybody see the changes that you've made. I don't mean proud and boastful. I just mean don't be ashamed of it. Declare plainly that you seek a country and that it's not this one. Get rid of your social website. Just get rid of it. Stop longing for one. That thing just feeds the wrong spirit. It just makes you so that you can't get your fulfillment at home from your parents. Brothers Bring all your music to your parents. I had a young man do that to me one time. He's brought all his music, and he said, Brother Dale, I want you to listen to my music, and I want to tell you, I want you to tell me what you think, and whatever you think is good for me to listen to, give it back. And if there's something you're not clear with, just throw it away. I had a young man come to me and say that one time. I just want to encourage you, do that to your parents, youth. Just bring it. Just lay it before God. It's a decision. Your parents are going to give you good music from the throne. Just say, here it is. Just give me back only what you want me to listen to and maybe add a little bit more. Maybe there's one I should be listening to that I didn't even have here. Just throw that in. Get under authority. Break your will. Lay down your agenda. Just lay that thing down. Prepare your heart to commune with God. You see, our focus isn't on all these things. Our focus is your heart ready to commune with a holy God? That's the focus. That's the burden. That's the motivation behind it. When you do that, you know what it's called? It's called repentance. It's called submission. It's called obedience. It's called truth. It's called revival. Burn it. It's called a godly seed. And parents, to you, get under the authority and the direction of the brothers that you fellowship with. Unite your heart. You know, sometimes the greatest evils in our home, our children get from us, a negative spirit, sowing discord among brethren, creating distrust in leadership. Brethren, let's unite our hearts. Let's stand shoulder to shoulder, side to side on the scriptures. It creates a safe place and protection for our children. I got a little bit of time here. I think I'm going to say something about music. Music is fellowship. That's what it is. When you're listening to someone sing, there's a connection there with their spirit. There's fellowship. You're having fellowship with the people who are singing to you. That's just the nature of music. That's what it is. That's what it does. Therefore, music is a very powerful thing. And it's powerful both for good and for evil. I know a very godly man who at one point in his life, his son walked away from his father's leadership. I think he was still living at home, but he didn't want to be a Christian anymore. He was done. And somebody asked his man, he's a good boy, he's a godly father. And somebody asked his father, they just asked him, how did your son get to that place where he even made the statement that he didn't want to be a Christian anymore? And this godly father said, and he said very carefully, he said, you know, I really think it started. Obviously, he'd been thinking about it and praying about it too. He said, I think it started when I gave my son too much liberty in music. Too much beat, too much instrument, too much bluegrass, contemporary style, CCM, country and western, all of that. I just tell you, try to picture some of that at the throne. You know, there's music down here that would be so fitting to play right at the throne of God. Listen to that. That's good music. But some of this beat that feeds the flesh, that stirs the emotion, that gets your hormones going, and all of this stuff, there's music that does that. It won't fit around the throne. It feeds the flesh. That's not what we listen to around the throne. Listen to good music. Dads, you should check up on the music that your children are listening to on a regular basis to produce a godly seed. Maybe I'll say something quick about the social media. Who your children communicate with the most is who lends the greatest influence in their life. When you minimize their communication on the media, you increase your influence on their heart. You do. There's all kinds of people opening up their heart on social media that don't open up their heart at home. That is a danger sign. We need to recognize that. There's all kinds of people getting fulfillment on social media that don't get it at home. They're releasing all kinds of emotions on social media, and they don't release it at home. And there's all kinds of counsel comes back to them on the social media that should be completely blocked from the eyes and ears of the children. They should be listening to you. I've heard of children that get 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 texts a month. I just want to ask you, parents, do you have that much contact with your children? Where your child communicates the most is the greatest influence in their life. What do the scriptures say? It says, wives, if you have questions, don't go to the social media. Go to your husband. Children, what do the scriptures say? There's really only one commandment given directly to the children in the whole Bible. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Make that connection strong. It's God's way. It's how we produce a godly seed. I want you all to hear me very carefully when I say this. I'm going to stand here and I'm just going to say, I am not clear with social media. Facebook is dangerous. If you think you can handle it, and if you think your child can handle it, I believe you're wrong. I believe you're going to pay the price down the road. We need to rise up in prayer. And I know there's a few exceptions with godly righteous discernment, but I'm not clear. With any social media, it does not turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. It's in opposition to Malachi 4:6. It won't do it. It doesn't increase parental influence in the home. And I just want you to know that if what I just said there is just from me, then I think it's pretty shallow. Then it's nothing but an opinion. I've got mine, and you've got yours, and we're even. But I want to tell you something. If what I said is connected to Malachi 4:6, if it's connected to Ephesians 6:1-4, if it's connected to Colossians 3:20, if it's connected to 1 Corinthians 14:35, if it's connected to 1 Corinthians 15:33, 1 Thessalonians 5:20-22, Philippians 4:8, 2 Corinthians 8:1, I mean, the list goes on. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and on it goes. If it's connected to that, then it merits some serious meditation before a holy God. It's not just someone's opinion. It's connected to the heart of God. I would like to say something about videos and DVDs. Those things, I tell you, and I'm not talking about educational videos. You can do some of those things in your homeschooling or whatever. I don't know. I'm talking about the drama, the plot, the acting. You know, this man over here and this woman, whoever she is, and they're together in this video and they're married in this video, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just all through the videos. I'm not sure I'm safe to say it's 100% bad because I don't like to exaggerate. It might only be 99. I'm not sure. But it's dangerous at best. It is. I'm not going to say that you can't sit down as a family and watch a video sometime together and be blessed. I'm not going to say that you can't sit down as a family sometime and watch a video and be blessed. Y'all hear that? Now, let me tell you how the flesh heard that. The flesh heard what I just said, that Dale says it's okay to listen to a video. Dale says you can listen to a video and be blessed. But now let me tell you what the Spirit of God, stirring under authority in the heart of man by the grace of God, I want to tell you, I heard that thing. There's probably only one or two or maybe 10 acceptable videos in the whole world to watch. And if you sit down and you watch one of them sometime, somewhere, you might find a blessing in it. But it is not worth it. It's dangerous business. That's how the Spirit of God heard
what I said. And I put that out there because I just see in this huge crowd, there are some people that are listening through the Spirit of God. And there are some people that are listening through the flesh. And it produces a completely different result. Videos will not lead you to God. I want to tell you one of the seducing spirits in a home, and that is an appetite for videos. When you see your child has an appetite, asking every night, watch a video? That appetite for videos is a seducing spirit, because with that appetite comes no discernment of what is acceptable. They just want to watch a video. That is an evil influence. You'll never sanctify an appetite for videos. They will not lead you to God. I'll tell you where they'll lead you. They'll lead you to where they came from. Hollywood. They'll lead you to Hollywood. That's the spirit where they are from. And there is a spirit that goes with them. Those things will not lead you to God. They will lead you to Hollywood. That's not how we produce a godly seed. It's past time to close. I'm just going to bring this thing to a close. I think I want to tell a story here. I want to give an illustration. I'm from California. I'm from the orchards of California, where they have trees in a row, many rows, 150 trees to the acre, and the ground's flat, and we put levees around these trees, and we irrigate them, and they grow. And I just want to tell you something that happened to me one time out in California. And I'm telling this because we hear it said many times that we want good fruit. Good roots produce good fruit. That's how you get good fruit. You just have good roots. But I want to tell you this morning, that's not the complete picture. We had good soil. We had the best soil you could get. We fertilized it. We irrigated it. We had good root stock. It was the best that you could buy. Couldn't get any better. And these trees in this fertile soil on this good root stock, they just grew. And they were almond trees, and they produced fruit. And that tree was green, and it was just hanging with almonds. The crop looked beautiful. And there was a field man came into our ranch one day, and he drove up there, and he walked up to our almond trees, and I remember this. He pulled out of his pocket a little magnifying glass, and he flipped that thing out, and he took a leaf, and he just started looking at that little leaf. And he came back, and he told my father and I, he said, "You need to spray these trees. These things are covered with red mites. And if you don't spray these trees for these red mites will destroy your crop. And they will eventually kill the tree." Well, I looked on over there at them almond trees. They looked green to me. I couldn't see any red mites. And the almonds were just hanging on them. And I was just thinking, this man's got an agenda. This man's got a spray business. This man wants to sell us some spray. This guy's got an agenda. This guy's a legalist. I mean, come on, Dad. I mean, that's going to cost money and time to spray. But I want to tell you something. We have to look close at what's in our homes. If we wouldn't have sprayed those almond trees, we would have lost the entire crop. And the trees. Good roots produce good fruit. But good roots don't stop the bugs from flying. Good roots don't stop the disease from spreading. Sometimes these things come in from the outside to good trees with good fruit and good roots. And I just have a burden for our homes. Brothers and sisters, I believe we have godly homes. I see faith here. I see revival here. I see the stirring of God here. I see good roots, and I see godly children. It's beautiful. But that doesn't stop the bugs from flying. That doesn't stop the disease from spreading. It doesn't stop the evil influences coming in from the outside. So may God stir us up. May God give us alertness and wisdom as we move carefully in these areas. May the wisdom of the Holy Ghost be upon us. Let's not scare our children. Let's entreat them as a father. Let's pray earnestly to a holy God. He will help us. This is an area where God loves to answer prayer. May God give us grace.